that's what I was talking about, of the grief of it, that it's okay to feel that, and it's okay to be all right with that. And if you feel like you can't get past it, if you feel like, wow, I really, this is something that's really important to me and it makes me super sad to let it go, then don't let it go. Don't.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I hope you're having an awesome week. I am. I got back into what I call the home place. You guys all know I travel a lot, and I'm back into the home place. And when I got here, I don't know why, it'd been a couple months since I'd been here, and I just looked around and I said, oh my gosh, I just need to declutter. I just need to organize. I don't know why. I didn't think I'd left it in. It wasn't like in a crazy state, but just when I walked in, the energy was off. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but that we're going to talk to our guests, because I called up a dear, dear friend of mine who knows about this stuff. So I want to hop right in, because we had her on, oh gosh, a while ago when she was talking about detoxifying our home, all these hidden chemicals we have in our home. So you guys have to listen to that one too. But tonight we're going to talk about stress-related clutter. I know that sounds weird. Maybe you can relate, maybe not. But when you hear about all this, you're going to go, yeah, I didn't think about it till now. So let me introduce Sharon McGrill. And she helps busy people get things done. She's the owner and president of the Betty Brigade, and that's in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it's an organization and relocation company. And she and her huge team of Bettys,
huge,
and there's guys and gals under that label, they perform such projects as moving, coordination, organization, staging, and they even work with hoarders. Now, thank goodness for me, whew, mine is not hoarding. But welcome, Sharon. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me back. I'm just happy to be with you.
Oh, I'm always love to see you. And congratulations on the phenomenal success of your brand new book called The Silver Tsunami, Downsizing. Don't remember the entire subtitle. Share with me what the entire subtitle, something like,
sure.
Where does the stuff go?
Yeah, it's called Downsizing the Silver Tsunami, Who to Call and Where Does the Stuff Go?
Oh, gosh. And I love the book. I learned so much. And some of the things I learned, I was thinking about when I walked here to the home base and I went, huh, the energy is off in the place. So I wanted to tap your brilliant mind on, first off, let's just talk about, do you have any thoughts? I know you worked with thousands of people over the years about clutter. Do you have any thoughts about why clutter can just distract us?
I have a lot of thoughts about that. We could go on and on and on. However, so there's a lot of different reasons that clutter comes into our home. Sometimes we inherit clutter. Sometimes we are collectors of clutter. Sometimes that clutter doesn't feel like clutter. Like I am collecting this thing, and so I need more of this thing, and it just keeps coming in, or it has happened to many people. Like one day you say, oh wow, that's a really cute bunny. And then people start giving you bunny statues. And then before you know it, you have 4,000 bunny statues around your house. And you're like, holy crap, what am I doing with all these bunnies? And, you know, because all you did was say, wow, that's cute. And then all of a sudden people kind of glommed on and decided that was the thing they would buy you.
You know, so funny, parrots came into my mind. When I was on a trip, I found this really cute handmade stuffed parrot. And I hung it in my living room, very colorful. It was small and it was really pretty. It was all handmade, very artistic. And the next thing I knew, I had like 40 parrots. I'm like, no, I liked that parrot. I met the woman who made it, you know, out in this village. It had all the significance to me, but it wasn't that I liked parrots.
Right.
But I had the same thing. All come from love, you know, it was really hard to say no because they all came from love.
Right. But here's the thing, like, it really is important for you to set your boundaries and not to reject people's gifts. That's not what that means. It just means to say to your friends and family, look, I so appreciate what you gave me, but please stop giving me parrots or bunnies or cats or whatever the heck they keep giving you. In my case, it was cats. And I had to like put a kibosh on that. I love cats, but I don't want my house filled with like cat things. I'm not the crazy cat lady. So that's, you know, it's really about saying to your friends or family or whatever, when they're looking to buy you a gift, hey, don't buy me any more bunnies or parrots or cats, but to say, I would really love a gift certificate to this restaurant, or I would really love a new pair of shoes, or I would really love a donation to my favorite charity. Those are the kinds of things where you're not trying to diminish what they've already done, but to say, hey, like my house is full and I don't want to take any more in.
Yeah, boundaries is so important because like I said, it's all done from love, but at one point it become so distracting that there's just so much stuff. And I remember reading in your book too about all of your research on that. I have a lot of stuff that I could say that was my great grandmother's, that was my grandmother's, and now my mother's getting to that age where she's saying, Sharon, would you like XYZ or this or that? And I'm kind of like, I've got all my own stuff, and I know my kids aren't going to want it. Probably not. Maybe one thing, you know, one reminder. And one of my children has already put the marker on the cookie jar. But other than that, they said, that's it, just the cookie jar. Mm-hmm. So all of these collections, not just mine, but collecting the collection of other people. I was reading in your book that like the young people don't want it. And we were like, what do we do with this thing that we thought was important?
So what's really interesting is that, you know, as parents and grandparents have been collecting, sometimes they're holding on to things and saving them for their kids or their grandkids because they think it'll be valuable and the kids or grandkids will be able to sell those things. And it might be plates or other collectibles. I mean, there's a whole variety of things. But what's interesting is that there are certain things where the bottom has completely dropped out of those things. Like that stuff is worth almost nothing. And the really interesting thing is that folks, especially under 30, the millennials, are not interested in stuff. And so I just want to talk for a minute about them. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so millennials would rather travel. They would rather have experiences. They would rather do things versus having stuff. So what I often say when I'm working with a client who has been holding on to stuff for their kids or their grandkids, is I'll say, you know what? What if you were to sell the stuff that your kids or grandkids don't want and take those people on a trip? Have an experience with them, because that is what they would rather do. And wouldn't you rather spend time with people rather than giving them your things? And so it's just a shift of culture. Baby boomers grew up they would take in things like fine linens and have a big dining room table and, you know, having all of these things, the good china, but the culture has shifted to not having those types of things.
Absolutely. And I have to be the first one to admit, I had the registry when I got married decades ago and I got the fine china, and Sharon, in the world, I've never used it. It is sat there in my beautiful china hutch looking gorgeous. And there it has sat. So talk about a shift. I started the shift for myself and didn't even know it. I followed the norm and then thought, okay, well, we need the fine china. But I'm not a fine china person. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather have a picnic or camp or, you know, be out doing something, and paper plates are fine with me if we're having a good time.
Right, right. And one of the things that that I often say is use your china, use it. Like if it's just sitting in the cupboard collecting dust, like what good is it doing anybody? And who cares, especially if your grandkids or your kids don't want it, who cares if it gets a chip? Who cares, really? Like use it, it's pretty. You bought it for yourself, use it.
I like that. I love that too. And also the idea of, I bought this beautiful dress and I have a couple of friends that have this dress. They're just waiting for the right moment to wear it. Mm-hmm. Make, you know, hun, you should just wear that dress now. You never know.
Right.
You don't want that right moment to be the funeral. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That just surprises me so much. And that's true. I'm thinking of the young people I know are definitely more about let's go have a fun time and taking that money that I've sold the whatever it is and being alive to enjoy it. I think that sounds like a much better prospect mm-hmm. to me than, you know, having this thing. Because I'm thinking of all the people that have passed in my life that I had fun experiences with them. And I really do have more enjoyment from those memories than I do from finding in some drawer somewhere, something tucked away that they gave me.
Absolutely. And there is a validity to stuff. Like I don't want to diminish that. And things do, you know, bring up a memory. And if you really are feeling like you want to hold on to that memory, especially if it's a small thing, then hang on to that. But if it's like a huge collection that takes up an entire room, are you really interested in hanging on to that? Mm-hmm. We were working with a hoarder, she was using a 5-bedroom house as a storage unit. She didn't live there at all. And she collected, certain cartoon characters. And she had all of these cartoon characters new in the box. And there were, and she said, I want to create a room for my grandkids that's just the cartoon characters. And I said, great. And so we started putting it together. Well, before we knew it, we had 15 gigantic bins of cartoon characters, this particular cartoon character. And I said, you know, you have more decoration than you do room. Like there's already too much stuff. And we haven't even moved anything into the room yet. It's all in bins. And so, but in her mental state with her hoarding, she said, well, all the bins will fit. She wasn't at all concerned about the decorative part of it. She just wanted to have the stuff.
Mm, yeah. And I can see there are a few pieces that I've attached to. And I remember after I had a move and I'd been in the place, probably 25 years I'd been there. And that was the hardest move. It was sort of like, oh yeah, gosh. And all the memories that would come around when I'd pull it this out of the closet or that out of the closet. And it took a while, and a couple of friends who came over and were just like, really, what does this really mean to you? And sat me down, you know, sort of looked at, do you really have to? And luckily I know hoarding is a different type of category that needs specific and very guided care. Mine was just about, oh, but I remember that. But then also remembering that I was changing size of space. And I much like my size of space now. It's much easier to just be and deal with.
That's a thing too, is, you know, knowing the size of space you're moving into, knowing what your storage capacity is, and taking a moment, and I actually talk a bit about this in the book, talking a bit about grieving your stuff, because it is a loss of a particular lifestyle. So you have, you know, during your life, you have certain lifestyles. When you're in college, you have a lifestyle. When you first go out on your own, you have a different lifestyle. When you get your first big job, you have a different lifestyle, you know, and as you progress through your life, you collect different things. You don't necessarily hang on to everything. Some people do, but most people don't. Like I would say 70% of people do not hang on to everything from their college days or their high school days, a few things here and there. But the point is letting go of that stuff. And Marie Kondo talks a little bit about this in her KonMari method, is to thank the thing that got you to where you are and then let it go. And let it go be useful for somebody else. And we don't necessarily take that step of thanking, but just to have gratitude in general, over I'm willing to let go of this. I'm willing to move on with my life because I no longer need this part of it.
And I think that's important too. And I know she talks also about this idea, does this bring you joy? And I've been going through my 2 or 3 weeks here of what I'll call massive spring cleaning, I love it. I cannot believe all these old electronics that I had just been, I did too lazy to take them to the recycler. And so there they sit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, those aren't even bringing me joy, but it wasn't. Some of this stuff I would not ask the question about joy is like, am I using this right now? Because I went through my kitchen drawers and I found multiples of certain things. And I'm like, yeah, do I really need that many spatulas? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't about bringing me joy or not. I don't think of a spatula that way.
Right. But is it useful or does it just sit in your drawer? I mean, and when you said spatula, I was like, oh, like I have the spatula that I hate to use. And I'm like, why am I holding on to that spatula? Like, really? And so even people that are in the conversation, the constant conversation of letting go of things, still hold on to things. So give yourself a break and address things in a regular manner. Like, so, you know, say, okay, well, I'm going to do this room, and you don't have to do a whole room in a day. Like garages and attics and basements, those typically take a while to go through because that's where the stuff collects. So that's where most people store their things. So give yourself time to go through them. And if it's not your joy, if it doesn't light you up to go through your stuff, then get some help. Get your kids or a friend or even a professional to come help you go through that stuff, because it will go faster and you will be more efficient.
Yes. And that's the important part, is being efficient, as well as, I don't know, it was nice that my friends were here. We chatted about a stuff and it just took a lot of the pressure and some of the stress off of decision-making for myself, which I really appreciated.
Mm-hmm. And your friends will be honest with you.
Yeah. Yes. Sharon and I both know that. I always say we have two types of friends. I have the friends that will tell me the truth no matter what, you know, they'll actually they know that I love them deep. And then I have other friends that I love just as deep, but they're such delightful people and they would never say a bad word. So sometimes I need both types of friends. But but for me, when I'm decluttering, I need those friends that are just look at me and go, really? Really? Yes. And there's such a move now, I know, for a lot of us are getting to that point where really, I just feel more comfortable in a smaller space. I'm seriously considering what they call downsizing, as the title of your book. Uh-huh. Well, and I've even looked at a couple of what they call tiny homes. I'm not sure I'm ready for these idea of like 400 feet or 200 feet, some of these homes. But in my mind, I'm sort of mentally preparing for that as I'm doing this massive spring cleaning this year. And one of the things I find is that I finished the master bedroom area first. I slept better. And I don't know if there's research behind that, but it was interesting. I just slept better the night that I finally went, whew, this room, this area is done.
And it's not just about sleeping better, but I want to talk about tiny homes in a minute, but I want to talk about the energy of your stuff. So as you bring things in and as you bring in other people's things, so say maybe you inherit stuff or maybe people gift you things from their own home, you are bringing their energy into your space. Okay. And a lot of people don't consider that. So you might want to, if you're in that conversation, you might want to cleanse the items, do some sort of, you know, ceremony to cleanse their energy from the stuff coming into your home. If you're very sensitive to those things, and if you're not sensitive to those things, really take a look at, do I need it? Is it something that will enhance my life in a way that, that will make things better in my house? Or is it just a thing that I'm bringing into my house because it's kind of cool or whatever? So I'm now at the point where I'm letting go of things. If I bring something new in, things have to leave. Like that's, and you've been to my house. My house is not cluttery, but it's, you know, I have lots of decoration.
Yeah, Yeah, but that's Sharon. So that's okay. I mean, I walk in, I love it. It's eclectic, and that's what I love too. It's like, oh my gosh, very cool. And knowing that it's a all of this kind of idea. I have another friend, a house is so zen, that is so white. Minimalist, that's the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. The white walls, the white floor. I'm almost afraid to walk in it personally because that's not me, but it has an itch, it has her energy in it. It has mm-hmm. her energy in it. And when I walk into your home and see all the delightful, fun types of items, that's just, it looks like Sharon. I'm just like, yeah, here's Sharon's energy in this room. It's awesome.
Right.
I think that's one of the things. So let's talk about merging energies in the room. What happens if we have a spouse, roommate, whatever, kids? Well, you know what? Let's take a quick commercial break. Sharon and I get together and we run past everything. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that touchy subject of blending energies and stuff. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight I'm here with Sharon McGrill. And she is the founder and president of the Betty Brigade. And that is an organization and relocation company. And they do all things from moving coordination, organizing, staging homes, and even working with hoarders. And the reason I had her on is I recently started to, what I'll say, declutter my home. I came back after a long trip and just walked in and I went, not the energy who I am anymore. And I wasn't even gone that long. So it's fascinating to me how I just went through this turning point. And I started very zealously decluttering things. And then I reached out to Sharon for a little moral support behind that and the emotional support behind that as well. And Sharon's been sharing with us some great tips on decluttering. And I just put my foot in that place of, okay, what happens if we're not the only ones making the decision? So what are some tricks you have for getting, if you have more people in your world that are making the decision, to all cooperate, to understand?
And often what we're talking about here is someone who is a saver and someone who is not a saver. And there is some conflict going on there. And I have this own the same conflict going on in my own home. So I speak from experience. But the point here is that you can come to consensus. You can come to giving the people in your life that do like to save, you give them space to be themselves in part of the house. And what we did in our house is we created the common areas like kitchen, living room, bedroom. Those are all areas that we both share. And so we have agreed that during the week, we're working, things get busy, things get hectic. And if those spaces get cluttery, it's okay. But on the weekends, that we take time to get that back to a baseline of zero, so that we put away all the shoes that have piled up in the living room, or the clutter that's on the dining room table, or, you know, all of the little projects that are kind of half done get completed on the weekends, so that we can start the new week fresh. And that actually works out really, really well, because it does give you that reset on a weekly basis. But you do have to agree to do it. You have to agree that you're going to set aside a few hours every weekend. And we typically do it on Saturday mornings, so that it's behind us and we get to relax the rest of the weekend.
Well, I think that's a great idea. Yes, coming to that terms of what is a baseline is a great idea. And I know too that there are other rooms in your house that are your room and the other person's room. So they do what they do. And what I here at my house, what I do is their room, I just close the door.
I do that too.
And that room just vanishes.
And when that room, because I do have to still use that room, but it's not as shared. It's not like a common area, really. It's just like I have a dresser in one of our areas. And I say, when things get a little too out of hand, I'll just say, hey, could you please take care of this part of it? Just so that I have a certain level of comfort walking into that room and I don't have anxiety every time I walk in, because I do have some OCD around stuff. And it, like, that's a very real thing, is that if I see too much stuff, I do get overwhelmed. And that's an interesting dilemma for an organizer to have, because I see too much stuff all the time.
I know you do, but I think also that's what makes you so brilliant and good at what you do. It's that moment you're able to see all of this stuff and then also project and see into the future of what the space could be.
Yeah.
With just a little bit of organization too. So I agree. It's an interesting dilemma that you have, but also makes you perfect for this, educating the rest of us who just going, I don't know why this space makes me feel stressed, or gosh, I walk in and I don't know where to start. So let's tackle this idea of where do we start when we walk in and we go, okay, Sharon, I agree, too much stuff. Okay, mm-hmm. I agree, but I don't know how to start.
Right. And so where you can, I like to start with the harder stuff. So I start with the basement or the garage or the space that feels overwhelmingly cluttery. Because when you are starting with that, when you start your project, you have the most momentum. You have the most like, okay, I'm going to get this done. And so starting with the most difficult thing, especially if you have a pal or a friend or you're hiring somebody, that really does get the momentum happening. The trick is to stay focused, because it's really, really easy as you're going through boxes to start reminiscing, to start talking about stories, to start saying things like, oh, I might use this one day, which is kind of my husband's, that's his go-to. Oh, I might use this. And I say, yeah, okay, whatever. And
have you used it in the last 5 years?
Right. But here's the thing, is like, he then takes great joy if he fixes something and he doesn't have to go to the store. He's like, I've got one of those. And he goes and he finds it. And I'm like, oh, for heaven's sake. So he, you know, that's kind of his like, see, I told you so moment. And that's what brings him joy. So I'm like, okay, whatever. That's, you know.
part of getting along.
Right. And you do have to be willing to compromise. You can't say it's my way or the highway. And But we do have those agreed upon rules. And so starting with something that you can complete in the allotted period of time. So say you give yourself 2 hours. Well, 2 hours might be a junk drawer. 2 hours is not a basement. So you will feel overwhelmed and you will get, you know, pulled away easily if you say, I'm only giving myself 2 hours to sort my basement. Because there's too much stuff in a basement. Give yourself a weekend to sort a basement. And when it's more than a day, always get additional help. Have that moral support, because that is what drives things forward. Whether you're hiring somebody or using your own family or friends, doesn't matter. Just having that momentum of people hauling things up and down the stairs or getting things to donation or getting the broken things and the trash out of there and relabeling the boxes so that they could be easily found. Because that's often, you know, with storage, it's often that you can't find what you need. And so you forget about that you have it and it sits in a box for years and years.
Well, that, and I like the idea of getting it out, having enlisted help, because I don't know about you, but there are occasions where I've done it myself and then I go back as I'm putting it in the car and I go, oh, I like that sweater. I've obviously put it in here for a reason, but I think I'll just hold on to this sweater for one more year or something like that. And that's why it's good to have somebody else.
Did you see that? I just wagged my finger at you.
Yes, you did. But I'm notorious for that. Unless I have friends over who are like loading it in the car, when I say it goes, it's out of sight and I don't have to deal with it again.
Right. So I just want to touch back on the tiny house thing. So sometimes when you're clearing out those spaces, you can say, okay, well, you know, we have a cottage, or we have a college student going off to college, or we have a friend who just had a disaster and they need some stuff. So think about, where can those additional things go, the extra set of dishes or you know, the extra things that you have, extra decorative things that you really do like, you're not just hanging on to them. And can they go to a friend? Can they go to a summer home or a lake house or wherever you live in two homes, you know, and that's what we're looking at in terms of our tiny home. Is like, I said to my husband, we can live in 400 square feet. And he was talking to me about like creating these walls that move. And I was like, oh, that's actually fascinating. I love that. And what's really important to me about that is to have a lovely outdoor seating space. So our outdoor seating space may be just as big as our whole indoor house. So really setting your priorities of how do you want to live and what is most important to you. Because I love being outside. I love sitting around a campfire. I love being in nature. I love that part of it. And so what can I do with my new space that will follow those norms?
And that's what I like about your book. You have asked those questions in there, like, what do you want your space to be like? What do you want it to feel like? What do you love to do? And how can that space enhance those, I'll say, lifestyle questions?
One of the things that comes up all the time is, especially because I'm in Michigan, and people up here in Michigan, because there was so much lumber, so people buy big brown furniture. Okay. Everybody's seen big brown furniture. You know what it is. And then they decide, okay, I'm going to downsize, but I want to keep my big brown furniture because I don't want to buy new furniture. And then they move to Florida and they have big brown furniture in their very kind of wicker homes, everything's light and easy and breezy in Florida in terms of furniture. And then they bring this big, heavy, dense furniture from their Michigan homes, and it doesn't always look right. And so think about where you're moving to. Can you buy a house that's fully furnished, or because the baby boomers are aging, can you buy secondhand and sell the stuff that you really don't want to keep?
That's a great question too. We need to take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sharon about, okay, so I've got this pile here. What do I do with my stuff? And some of the stuff that I think might be worth something, how do I find out? So we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at PinkyChenille.com. That's P-I-N-K-Y. Chenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Sharon McGrill, and she is the founder and president of the Betty Brigade. It's an Ann Arbor, Michigan-based organization and relocation company. And she and her team of Bettys are awesome at getting rid of your stuff, helping you organize, relocate, even staging your home if you're going to put it on the market, all of those wonderful kinds of things. And she has an awesome new book out called Downsizing the Silver Tsunami, Who to Call and Where Does the Stuff Go? And I wanted her on tonight because I found how much stress my stuff was causing me. And as we all know, stress, the more we can handle stress, the more our autoimmune can just stay nice and calm. I have found that too much stress around me can cause flares, even just minor flares. I'm like, stuff is not worth a minor autoimmune flare. So Sharon, we've been talking about downsizing. We've been talking what to do with our stuff. But let's say I do have those plates from Auntie M and whatever, and they're all collectibles and at one time were sold as investments or what have you. But now not so much. People don't want the stuff. What are some good ways to get, we talked about some kind of household items that we could give to other people in need. But what happens if we have, I don't know, artwork or some other things? Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to begin to get someone to tell me, is it worth anything?
Right. So there are things that are of value in almost everyone's homes, but not everybody has a lot of things that are of value. I mean, some people invest in art, some people invest in jewelry or coins or stamps or guns or, you know, whatever. There's all different things that people can purchase, and they are keeping them as collectibles. We're doing a fascinating clear out right now where a guy has been collecting political memorabilia for the last 50 years. And so one of the things we've been taking each candidate and combining all the stuff, because there's just thousands of pieces of it. And so some of it is going to Monticello, and some of it is going to Hyde Park in New York, and some of it is going to the Clinton Museum and the Carter Museum and the Obama Museum. Like, it's just fascinating to see all of this stuff that is, some of it is very valuable and some of it is handmade things that this guy collected. And it's really fascinating. So what do you do Well, you call an appraiser. That is a first step. And there are people that appraise all different things. And how do you find somebody? Well, you can call up an estate sale company, especially an established one or an antique dealer. And they will know, you can say, I've got a blah, blah, blah collection. And they will say, oh, you need to talk to so-and-so. And they will direct you to the right person who can then evaluate your collection and give you, like, here's the retail cost and here's what a dealer would buy it for to be able to resell it. So it's about looking at it. There are also lots and lots of eBay resellers out there. And so you can find an eBay reseller. And eBay is great for name brand items. And it's great for electronics. It's great for musical instruments. And most people that do eBay as a job, they want to make a certain dollar amount. So they might say, I'm not going to sell anything on my site less than $75. That's their minimum. So knowing that, you go, okay, well, I only have $50 worth of stuff. Well, maybe I'll take my chances on Craigslist or on Facebook Marketplace and sell that item myself. So there's lots of different ways to do that. There are also consignment dealers. Consignment dealers are everywhere. They sell household goods, they sell art, they sell furniture, whatever. And so finding consignment dealers in your area and seeing if they can come take a look. If it's big, heavy items, you can often email them pictures and say, are you interested in this? That's what we do. And so it saves a trip. And then if they want to see it in person, then they can come see it in person.
That's a good idea. Is it wise to get a couple of people to come out and give you an appraisal so you have a range of understanding what it's about?
If you have the time, sure. But I will tell you that most reputable dealers, and you really do want to know the reputation of the dealer you're working with. So go and look them up on Yelp. Go look them up in their association. See if they have, if they are part of an association. If they're just doing this part-time on the side, then they probably are not real reputable. And also, a lot of news stations will tell you who's not reputable, or the Better Business Bureau will tell you who's not reputable. So you kind of want to do your due diligence about the people you're inviting into your home to sell your stuff. But they will never sell it. They will never buy it from you at retail. They will buy it from you at wholesale, or they will take it from you and then sell it on consignment and send you your part of it minus their cut.
Yeah. And I think that's the important thing for people to understand is you buy retail, sell at or below wholesale. And that can be disappointing.
It can be disappointing, but here's the thing. You got to love and enjoy that thing for years. So it was like, it's like you rented it and now you're selling it back.
Oh, good reframe. Perfect reframe. That's a great reframe. Because I've heard people say, But, you know, I paid XYZ. I'm like, yeah, well, I don't think that part has really changed. The buy retail, sell wholesale is something I've known for a good long time. I don't think that part's really changed.
Yeah, a mutual friend of ours that is moving to Peru, you know who I'm talking about,
absolutely,
was talking about his cowboy boots and how he had spent $400 on these cowboy boots and how they didn't even fit anymore, but he spent $400 on them. And I said, dude, like, seriously, you can't even wear them. Why are you like sell them at wholesale to someone who can actually put them on their feet, like, for real. And so sometimes it really does take that voice of, like, somebody kind of going, hey, really, to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. My first thought was when I read that, I said, I wonder if you could repurpose them. What could you do with cowboy boots? Make a vase, or, I mean, a set of vases? Yeah, I know, but that was my first thought. What can you do with cowboy boots? But anyway, other than find someone who loves cowboy boots. Oh my gosh, that's so true. What are some other things that you suggest for people when they're just going, thinking about their stuff and they get overwhelmed with the stress of it? So it's invite friends, hire professional organizers such as yourself. What are some other things we can do as we go through the emotions of it? I'm just still shocked. I'm in the mindset to get rid of this stuff, but I'm still shocked that there are times when I'm just chugging along really great, and then all of a sudden I find something and the emotions just all of a sudden, that one piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I was talking about, of the grief of it. That it's okay to feel that, and it's okay to you know, be all right with that. And if you feel like you can't get past it, if you feel like, wow, I really, this is something that's really important to me and it makes me super sad to let it go, then don't let it go. Don't. Now, that being said, if it's an enormous piece of furniture, then think about your new space and say, is this practical? Because, you know, sometimes it's just not practical. But if it's something that's small, or you can also take a picture of that item to remember it by, and then you're just saving it on your phone or in the cloud or, you know, on a photograph, and that takes up much, much less space than a big piece of furniture.
And it's so funny when you mentioned the furniture. I used to have this amazing handmade canopy bed. And when I moved a number of years ago, it just wasn't going to fit in the new space because it was a very large, ornate bed. And I do have a couple of pictures of it. And I remember how awesome that was. It was a real statement piece in that particular bedroom. It fit and was made for that bedroom. And so it's funny. That's immediately what flooded back was, every so often I bump into the pictures of the guy who made the bed and how he made the bed and the whole process of making the bed. And I think it was really more now that I, at years out from that particular piece of furniture, I was more attached to the whole process. It was someone I knew, made from love, you know, and it would turned out to be just a, not only just a bed, but an amazing piece of art.
And right.
All the story behind it.
Right. We had this lady who, I went down in her basement and she had this old treadle sewing machine, and it was covered in dust and covered in like old vases, and like it wasn't being used. It was just dusty and cobwebby. And I pointed at it and I said, "What are you doing with that sewing machine?" And she said, "Is it worth anything?" And I said, "Nope." And she said, "Well, I can't get rid of it. It was my mother's." Mm-hmm. And I just stopped her. And I said, "So you're honoring your mother by keeping this thing dusty in a corner in your basement?" And she said, "Oh." Like, it just didn't occur to her that that was a dishonoring of her, of this memory. And I said, "And here's the other part of this." I said, "Don't get down on yourself for that." I said, "Your mom is in your heart. Your mom is not in that sewing machine. So can you be good enough with letting the sewing machine go unless you're going to put it in a place of honor in your space?"
Hmm. That's a nice way, like, nice way to look at it.
She was like, "Oh." And it had never occurred to her that she was dishonoring her mom's memory by keeping things in her dusty basement. Hmm.
Yeah, and that's a nice way to think about it too, because thinking about that type of things. And oh my gosh, we're down just to the last 5 minutes, Sharon. When we get together, time flies.
I know. We love to talk.
Oh yes, we do. We love to catch up and everything. I just want to briefly touch on something else that I love that you do. And I want you to share with us briefly just a few thoughts. And so now we've got this nice, clean space. Tell us really quickly about what bringing in scents and essential oils to our space can do once we've got it nice and clean.
Right. So once you've cleaned it, then you can almost create a feng shui with scent. So if you're using the new space as a meditation space or as a relaxing room, then you might want to put in lavender or other relaxing oils. If you are using that as your office, you might want to put in oils that help focus you or keep you uplifted. So think about how you're using the space, and then you can match the scent with however you're using the room. And you can always change the scent because scents are easy to change depending on how you're using the room that particular day.
And I love that. And I should have pointed out that one of the things Sharon's also an expert is in the essential oils world, about how you create space with scents and what they do to the energy of the room. This is another one of her amazing skills in helping us understand that it's more than just the stuff that it's more than just the stuff in our room, but it's also what feeling does it give us when we walk in the room is more important than the stuff that's in the room. Awesome. So Sharon, tell us a little, any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us? And then where can we get your book and learn more about you?
Final thoughts are just, you know, get started. Like if you're facing some sort of overwhelming task, start. Like it doesn't matter where you start, just start. And whether you start with the low hanging fruit or the most difficult thing, doesn't matter. Just start your project and then keep working at it. Like don't give up. Because we see people halfway through their projects all the time, and just keep yourself motivated. Give yourself enough time to do it.
Mm. What have you seen a few people? I know you see work with thousands of people, but what do people do to reward themselves as they kind of get through it? I've given myself a couple of meals out with friends as a reward instead of the old me probably would have bought something else I liked. But I liked your idea of one in, one out type of idea.
But right. So when you're emptying a space, don't reward your space yourself with buying more things. That's exactly right. Reward yourself with something that you really want, like a trip or a thing that is that is a consumable, like food or some sort of special thing or flowers or something that helps you feel like you accomplished it. For me, I have a glass of bourbon on the porch.
Whatever works.
Because sometimes when you're organizing other people's houses, you need a drink.
Yes, and I'm so glad that there are people in the world like you, Sharon, that do this kind of thing and that also help motivate us that want to tackle our own spaces as well. Now, Sharon, where can we find the book, Downsizing the Silver Tsunami?
Well, the easiest place is at our website, bettybrigade.com, or you can also find it on Amazon. But our website will take you to the Amazon link and it'll get you. We have Kindle and we have a print version, whatever you want.
Yeah. And it's a great book, guys. It goes through everything from the why and the how and the when. And we just touched the surface here in our time together about everything that it covers. And I'm always proud to say that I was one of the people that pushed her to write it. So thank you, Sharon, for finally getting all of the expertise out into the book and being able to share it with a much larger community, because it's an awesome book. And I'm just thrilled that every time I see on social media the new ways you're getting the word out about what it is to let go of our stuff and have a happier, stress-free life when we're able to understand the grieving process and getting through all of that, of getting rid of our stuff as well. Now, Sharon, it's called the bettybrigade.com, correct?
Correct.
Awesome. Okay, everyone. That's Sharon McGrill. And thank you so much for being on the show. As always, awesome stuff that we learned today. And encourage you that even with autoimmune, I know you're going to say, but Sharon, I'm fatigued, or I don't want to do this. Have you heard Sharon says you can start small and do just a little bit at a time? And that's what I did. The fascinating thing for me is I started small, the more success I got, the more motivated I got. I said, okay, I'm going to do just 10 more minutes. And pretty soon that 10 more minutes became 15 more minutes or 20 more minutes. And so I say, let's all of us get in this together and have a wonderful, I know it's kind of late in the spring here, but maybe into the summer of decluttering. And I've just been pleasantly surprised at the less stress I feel when I just walk into every room now and I have things there that I truly, truly like. So have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next week for another brand new episode. As always, enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites, and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Take a moment now to find a comfy spot. Wiggle about every nook and cranny to make sure you're comfortable in this spot. Shake out your fingers and wiggle your toes while you take some nice deep breaths and extend the exhale. Continuing to release any leftover little stressors of the day with a nice extended exhale. Coming to a place of complete comfort. Letting go of all drama. That's right. Integrate this feeling of no drama, of relaxation, open and spaciousness, and take it back into the present moment, right now, alert and aware that you can call on this feeling at any time and carry it with you at all times. Alert and aware, eyes wide open and ready to begin your day without drama and with that open and spacious feeling. Oh, welcome back.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free, non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at PinkyChenil.com. That's P-I-N-K-Y. C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. See you there.